That's 461-3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network, on the air in Waycross at 91.3. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Hill. I'm sitting in for Dr. Jean A. Youngblood this morning. It's always a privilege and honor to do that for Dr. Youngblood. I've done it several times previously, but for those of you who are not familiar with me, I'm out of Pensacola, Florida. I'm a small business owner. I've owned an insurance and financial services agency now for 33 years. Before that, I was 10 years active duty in the Air Force after graduating from the Air Force Academy in 1980. I was also elected to office representing District 1 and District 2 in the Florida State House from 2013 until 2020. Dr. Youngblood and I met while I was in the Florida State House back in 2017, I believe it was, and he and I have been friends ever since. We're going to be going over many different topics today, some that I find to be pretty interesting, and some are related, such as the sentencing for the former Proud Boy leader, the extensive sentencing of 22 years, which is outrageous, and all that goes along with that, but also others who have been convicted for contempt, such as Peter Navarro, who was convicted for contempt of Congress for failing to comply with a subpoena from the House Select Committee, which, by the way, was all bogus, which was completely unconstitutional, unlawful, that whole January 6th committee. And I didn't blame either Peter Navarro or Steve Bannon from not complying with that bogus January 6th committee. But recently he was convicted of contempt of Congress. And so that's all related to what we're seeing with what's happening with the Proud Boys, with the January Sixers, the political prisoners who are in jail. But we're also going to be talking about President Trump's response to that and also Governor DeSantis' response to that. We're going to talk a little bit, too, about the Joe Kennedy. You remember he's the coach who was praying with his high school football team there in Washington State and was eventually lost his job because of it. There was a lawsuit. It lasted 7 years. But just this year, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in his favor that he had the right to do that. We're going to talk a little bit about Coach Joe Kennedy, who, by the way, I had the pleasure of meeting. He now lives in the Pensacola area, and I had a great pleasure of meeting him when he came and spoke to a group of church leaders at a breakfast not too long ago. Great guy. So we're going to talk about that. Let's also talk about how the House is coming back. Congress is coming back in a session after their recess, and a couple of things which they must do in order to help save this great nation. Daniel Horowitz has one suggestion for them, and that is that the GOP must pledge not one red cent for COVID shots. Amen. I agree with that 100%. They must also reject the spending policies of Joe Biden, Chuck Schumer, and Nancy Pelosi. But then conservatives also have to call on Republicans to open an impeachment inquiry against President Biden and how the Senate needs to stop ignoring what is going on in the House. If we have time, we'll also talk about some real crimes that were committed by presidents, not what we're seeing, these bogus indictments against President Trump. We're talking about real criminal crimes that have taken place here. And we'll discuss that also. If you would like to join the conversation with either your thoughts, your comments, or questions, you can call in at 904-831-0917. Again, 904-831-0917. Okay, but even before we get into all that I said we were going to discuss, let's start off with this fiasco which happened out in the desert, the Nevada desert, that's called Burning Man Festival. Now, I'm going to admit, I never even heard of Burning Man Festival until this year when it became big news because a flash flood rainstorm locked everyone down there at this festival, and they were unable to leave because of all the mud that was there. Never heard of Burning Man Festival. So I looked it up, and what it is, from what I could surmise from doing a little research, that Burning Man Festival is nothing more than a pagan worship center. It's a group of people who get together, and we're talking a large group, 73,000, in a group of people who meet annually at this event, at this desert place out in Nevada. And they go out there and they build these pagan structures, these idols. And they, for about a week, they just participate in all types of debauchery and hedonistic rituals and pagan rituals. There's all sorts of drugs, alcohol, and anything that you can imagine that goes along with that. And they build these huge pagan structures, these idols, that during the week, people go to these idols, and they will place in there names of those who loved ones who have departed, or I don't know if they're still alive or what, but they place these names they'll write them on pieces of paper or whatever, and put it in these idols that they build, these huge structures. I mean, they're like 7-story tall, these huge idols that they build. And then the culmination of their pagan festival is they light these idols on fire. And during the week, as they're going through all of this debauchery and this pagan worship, they also go into these idols which they have built, and they meditate there. Now, if you want to know what devil worship is, that's it. Right there, ladies and gentlemen, that is devil worship. And it so happened this time, this year, I don't know if it's happened before, but this year there was a huge rainfall, a very unusual rainfall that happens in the desert, and it caused a flash flood. And the flooding then, of course, all that water turned the desert into mud so that people literally could not leave because your cars, your vehicles, your campers, would all get stuck in this mud. They just couldn't get out. And so they were held there by police enforcement would not let people in or out of this place. I think it's at Black Rock City is where it held, or very close to it, there in the desert in Nevada, close to the California border, the northwest California border, Nevada and California, where these pagans get together and they put this idol, they build these huge structures, and they go in there and meditate during the week as they're committing all sorts of debauchery during the week. And then they put names of loved ones inside these burning structures. Then they set it on fire. That's the culmination of the whole thing. And if you ask me, it's really just devil worship is all it is. And then you're reading about people who attend there, and there's some people who are well known, either they're musicians or artists or whatever, that go there. And so they're simply revealing themselves as pagan worshipers. I don't care who goes there. And then as I was doing my research and was looking at photographs of what happened at Burning Man this particular year, of course, you would notice the rainbow flag, the LGBTQ crowd was prominently there, as you would, you know, suspect. Whenever there's pagan worship, you'll see them there because they are pagans. That's all. They are. They have no moral compass at all, and they go to worship demonic forces. That's exactly what happened at Burning Man this year and previous years. And there was a large rainstorm which turned it into mud and the chaos. One person died, I understand, and they're saying it was from a drug overdose. There were all sorts of rumors going on that Ebola outbreak took place there, which they have now debunked and said did not happen. But it's a tragedy that would even go on anywhere nowadays. I can't imagine. You read in biblical times of people doing all this pagan worship, and you would think that we would be past that by now. But no, human nature does not change. And so we see these pagan worshipers out in the desert who are worshiping demons and then set it all on fire, and then they move on to the next place. They leave or wherever they go. I do know that a couple of places where they like to go, especially the LGBTQ crowd, because it's on a circuit, they head to New Orleans. They then come to Pensacola, Florida. They're in Pensacola every Memorial Day weekend. And it's such a shame because they weren't here previously. That has only started about 20 years ago. Previous to that, they were not coming here. And at that time, I was living in Fort Walton Beach. And I recall that the group of them came first to Panama City Beach and wanted to hold their little pagan festival there, their weekend of debauchery. And Panama City Beach told them no. And then they wanted to come to Fort Walton Beach, which is about an hour west of Panama City Beach. And at that time, I was associated with the Fort Walton Beach Chamber. And we told them no, said that no, you can't hold your festival here. Well, they then went to Pensacola Beach, which is about another hour west, hour's drive west. There, the Pensacola chamber told them yes, because they saw a great chance of making money. So here, the Pensacola chamber sold out the residents of Pensacola and Escambia County just for money. And since then, they descend upon Pensacola every Memorial Day with their debauchery and their weekend long of pagan worship and hedonism. That's all it is. And there have been occasions where they've been rained out completely. They wanted to hold a parade one time, and it rained so hard that we had flooding here in Pensacola. It was called a 100-year event. I mean, it just rained out their parade. There was no way they were going to have it, which I was very pleased to see, by the way. But then they leave Pensacola, and they go down to Orlando to Disney. Disney will welcome them, where they'll hold a weekend of their debauchery and hedonistic practices at the Disney theme parks. And then they head down to Miami Beach, and they'll do the same thing. And these people aren't just from these areas. They come from all over the world. We're talking tens of thousands of them gather to do their pagan worship in different spots here in the U.S., and they also do it over in Europe also. But, okay, enough of that. Let's move on to a different item. Let's talk about Congress coming back soon into session and what conservatives are saying that they must do. One, they must reject the spending policies of Joe Biden, Chuck Schumer, and Nancy Pelosi. When Congress returns to Washington, they will immediately take up a spending fight before government funding expires on September 30th. Neither the House nor the Senate has passed the required appropriation bills, which right there is just, that's a travesty. That's one of their primary jobs that they are supposed to do, is pass appropriation bills. So what that means is a short-term extension of funding is called a continuing resolution will be required. That seems to be the mode of operation for Congress here more recently, where they don't put together appropriation bills. They just don't do it. They just do these little continuing resolutions. And that is one reason why our debt is spiraling out of control. These continuing resolutions allow Congress to just spend money and the president to spend money to the point now where we are over $32 trillion in debt. $32 trillion. When President Trump took office in 2016, we were under $19 trillion. That is crazy amount of money. And when you spend like that, it causes inflation. What is inflation? Too many dollars chasing too few goods. And that's what we are all feeling right now. When you go to the grocery store, when you try to buy furniture, you try to buy clothes, you try to buy food, everything has gone up because of Congress not doing its job. Now, this is a critical must-pass leverage point, and conservatives must use it to disrupt the Washington Swamp's playbook to force reforms to the Democrats' failed policies. Under no circumstances should conservatives acquiesce to the spending levels and policies of Joe Biden, Chuck Schumer, and Nancy Pelosi. And that is exactly what the clean continuing resolution proposed by Speaker McCarthy and Leader McConnell would do. Worse, such an extension to early December would set the stage for yet another year-end budget-busting omnibus spending bill. This is unacceptable. No spending bill should pass Congress without desperately needed policy reforms attached that secure the border, end the weaponization of federal law enforcement, and stop the woke cancer that has infected the Pentagon. Conservatives are ready with reforms. If congressional Democrats would rather shut down the government than secure Americans, then congressional Republicans must take that fight head on. Amen. That was written by the Conservative Action Project, which I am a member of and a co-signer of this letter that was sent out to not only all social media, but to each congressional member in the House and in the Senate. We'll see if they'll take any heed to it. If you look at the leadership we have now in the House, Representative McCarthy, and in the Senate, Senator McConnell, if I were to predict anything, they are going to go along with this whole insane, out-of-control spending plan that the Democrats are doing, and they'll just continue with it because we have poor leadership in the Republican Party right now, ladies and gentlemen. We have poor leadership in the Congressional House and Congressional Senate on the Senate side. Over on the Democrat side, it's also poor leadership. I mean, my goodness, you look at who they have, but they are united in their front, which seems to be bent on the destruction of the capitalist system in America, which has made us the most prosperous, powerful nation that the world has ever seen. And why they are so intent on destroying it doesn't make sense to me. Part of it is because they know they are immune from whatever might happen to their destructive policies, that all they want to do is make sure they remain in power. And they do that by making more and more Americans dependent upon the government. As long as you can make the vast majority dependent upon government, then they know they will stay in power. That is what communism is all about. A few, an oligarchy that is the elites that are in power, who receive all sorts of extra benefits that no one else can receive. But we must reject that, ladies and gentlemen. We must not let them do that. That's why elections do have consequences, and we must make sure that our elections first are fair, that there is no fraud. We must demand that. And we must demand that our elected officials do not go along with these Democrat spending plans. Here's another letter that the Conservative Action Project sent out to all members of Congress and to the media. And it's called Conservatives Call on House Republicans to Open an Impeachment Inquiry Against President Biden Immediately Upon Return from Their August Recess. And further, call on Senate Republicans to stop turning a blind eye to the House investigations and findings. Now, recent revelations from the House Committee on the Judiciary, the House Committee on Ways and Means, the House Committee on Oversight and Accountability, and the House Select Committee on the Weaponization of Government have established without question that Joe Biden has been engaged in criminal misconduct for decades, and that he lied to the American people about his son Hunter Biden's criminal conduct and his own culpability and involvement in a Biden crime family business. The findings also reveal ongoing unlawful actions directed by the Biden White House to suppress the free speech rights of the American people and special targeting of those who dare to espouse opinions and views the Biden White House doesn't agree with. That's exactly right, ladies and gentlemen. And we see it all over America, where the Department of Justice, the FBI, the CIA have been weaponized against the American people. And what we are seeing is political misconduct being conducted by the Biden administration. Anyone who objects or opposes to them, they are being attacked. They're being jailed. They're seeing that their financial future is being destroyed. That is unconscionable of what we're seeing happening in America right now, ladies and gentlemen. This letter goes on to say, the evidence continues to mount and can no longer be ignored, the evidence of the Biden crime family business. We are seeing more and more of it. The American people demand accountability instead of the ongoing cover-up by the most partisan attorney general in history, Merrick Garland, and the hyper-partisan leftist-dominated Department of Justice. Joe Biden is guilty of high crimes and misdemeanors, warranting the opening of an impeachment inquiry, which must ultimately result in impeachment by the House and removal by the United States Senate of Joe Biden as President of the United States. Amen. An impeachment inquiry into the following recent revelations will easily produce a bill of particulars for the Biden impeachment resolution. Joe Biden, one, lied about his role with Hunter Biden's business dealings and clearly allowed his son and his brother to corruptly sell access to him as a high-ranking government official. Two, Joe Biden lied about Hunter Biden's laptop, calling it a Russian plant in a debate watched by 73 million people. Three, Joe Biden directed a presidential campaign that colluded with current and former members of U.S. intelligence agencies to interfere with the 2020 general election, and a leader of the scheme was rewarded with the position of Secretary of State of the United States. Four, Joe Biden benefited from a web of offshore and shell company bank accounts involving multiple Biden family members. Five, Joe Biden directed a White House that, according to a federal district judge, wrongly pressured social media platforms to suppress the free speech rights of the American people related to elections, COVID-19, and vaccines. Six, Joe Biden directed that Department of Justice take the position in a court filing that Florida's new law prohibiting Chinese purchase or ownership of land is a violation of the Fair Housing Act and the United States Constitution. Seven, Joe Biden appointed prosecutors who were directed to ignore Hunter Biden criminal activity and instead proposed a sweetheart plea agreement that would not be available to any other citizen. And that was so objectionable that the judge refused to accept it. The egregious plea agreement warrants immediate investigation into the role of the Biden White House with Biden political appointees related to the development of the plea agreement. Eight, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have to continue this after the break at the top of the show. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. If you would like to join in with your questions and comments, the number is 904-831-0917. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Youngblood on Let's Face the Issue.
Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. Packing winds of 165 miles per hour, Lee is a powerful Category 5 hurricane. It's over the Atlantic, heading in the direction of the Northeast Caribbean. Forecasters say that America's East Coast could see some dangerous rip currents later this coming weekend. Chicago's come up with a new plan for dealing with the flood of illegal immigrants streaming into the city as a result of the wide-open southern border. Many of the newcomers have been living at police stations, but the plan is to transfer them to large tents. A federal appeals court allowing Texas Governor Greg Abbott to keep the floating barrier on the Rio Grande for now. The 1,000-foot-long barrier has been deployed along a stretch of the river that has proven deadly for those trying to swim from Mexico to the U.S. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 104 points. More details, srnnews.com.
As God calls us to serve Him, He calls us to study. Conservative Theological University provides studies on campus and online personalized distant education studies that lead to your certified degree. Earn your associate's, bachelor's, master's, or doctorate. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today. Please leave your contact information for the staff to reach out to you. That's 1-800-GO-BIBLE for Conservative Theological University.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. It's always an honor and pleasure for me to do so. For those who missed my introduction at the beginning of the show, just want to briefly tell you again that I'm from the Pensacola, Florida area, that I own an insurance and financial services agency. I've done that for the past 33 years. Before that, I was 10 years active duty, Air Force, after graduating from the Air Force Academy in 1980. And I've also served in the Florida State House from 2013 to 2020 in District 1 and in District 2. So, before the break of the hour, we were talking about a letter that was put together by the Conservative Action Project that was sent to all members of Congress and also to the media, which calls for the impeachment of Joe Biden. And I was reading off a list of those charges which should and can be brought against Joe Biden. And I have gone through 7 of those charges. There's about another 5 or 6 more. But before I get to those, I understand we have a caller on the line. Caller, please introduce yourself. And what is your question or comment, please?
Good morning, Congressman Hill. This is Brother Davis calling.
Hey, Pastor Davis.
I was just wanting to kind of comment on some of the things you were saying about the charges against this president. While I may not know them verbatim, Brother Hill, I would just like to add, you know, to the fact that for me, this is probably the most disgraceful president that we ever had sitting in that seat of power since Richard Nixon. That he may be a little bit more disgraceful than Richard Nixon. And again, you know, I know you have other charges that you can read out, but, you know, what comes to my mind is the disgraceful way that we left Afghanistan, the cocaine that was found at the White House that they don't seem to want to talk about. And then, Brother Hill, the other day I saw on the TV where he was supposed to be honoring a United States veteran that served in the armed forces, and he just disgracefully walked away from that stage for no reason, and seems like no one knew, you know, what was going on in his head. I mean, he does so many things that's disgraceful to us, and I feel like other countries that used to fear us are now laughing at us because we have a person that's sitting there with no brain and no backbone to lead this country. And that's what we need right now. We need strong people, you know, in positions of authority that can hopefully get this country back on track. If we don't, it's going to be Katie by the door before it's too long.
That's right. Pastor Davis, thank you for those comments. You're exactly right. Joe Biden was giving one of the highest honors to that Army veteran. The Presidential Medal of Honor award was going to this veteran, this patriot. And after Joe Biden gave it to him, inexplicably, he just walked out of the room. And it's obviously an effect of his very apparent dementia and Alzheimer's. Joe Biden does not know what's going on around him most of the time. And then you hear his press secretary, that inveterate liar, Jean-Pierre, whatever her name is, almost every time she opens her mouth, she lies. And she said the reason why he left so quickly was he wanted to make sure that the potential spread of COVID was being minimized, which is complete nonsense, and everybody knows it. And so this whole idea of resurgence of COVID-19 is simply a preparation, get this now, a preparation that they can cheat in this next election coming up in 2024. They cheated in 2020. Actually, I believe they cheated in 2016 also. It's just that they fell short of their cheating techniques because they thought they had enough. They miscalculated the immense popularity of President Trump, and so they didn't cheat enough. But they made sure they did not make that mistake in 2020, where the cheating was on such a grand scale that it was obvious to everyone who saw it, and they didn't care. They didn't care who saw the cheating. They didn't care that they got caught, and their attitude seems to be, so what are you going to do about it? They just cheated, and they seemingly got away with it. And so Biden then got installed in the office. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's not calling the shots. That's apparent. Some people are saying that Obama is doing that. Obama's only part of the picture. The Council on Foreign Relations is probably making the real shots, along with members of the World Health Organization. And their whole intent is to bring communism to the United States of America. And why do they want to do that? Because if they can weaken the United States, that will help them in their plans of setting up a one-world government where the elites are in charge and the rest of us are to live according to their whim. Well, of course, that is not going to happen, not in the United States of America and a lot of other places, because God put into the heart of man this desire to be free. And that is what the United States is all about, freedom. Freedom to worship our God how we want to. Freedom to make a living for our family. Freedom to enjoy life. That is what this whole nation was based on, the concept of freedom and morality. You can't have that freedom without morality. Otherwise, it does go into total chaos. And so we, in the United States here, we are not going to submit to the Council on Foreign Relations. We are not going to submit to the World Health Organization or to the rest of that globalist, elitist cabal. We are not. And that is why we have written a letter conservatives have written a letter to Congress, and I will go on now to finish reading that letter, of the charges to be brought against Joe Biden. Number eight, Joe Biden directed the collapse of American sovereignty by opening the United States border, allowing more than 5 million undocumented persons to enter the United States illegally, putting American lives at risk through human trafficking, the illegal import and distribution of fentanyl and other illegal drugs, and creating chaos in cities and communities across the country, including New York City, which has recently pleaded with President Biden to stop sending illegal immigrants to the city, as it can no longer accommodate the massive number of illegals swarming its city. Charge number nine, Joe Biden directed and is presiding over illegally transporting U.S. military personnel across state lines to encourage and perform abortions in violation of federal law. Number 10, Joe Biden disregarded the rulings of the United States Supreme Court regarding his politically motivated $430 billion student loan forgiveness program and has announced yet another illegal forgiveness of student loan debt in violation of the Supreme Court's determination that the president has no such authority to abrogate the loan contracts. Number 10, President Biden presided over the disastrous withdrawal of U.S. troops from Afghanistan, just as Pastor Davis just mentioned just a minute ago, that cost the lives of 13 American soldiers and turned over $85 billion, that's with a B, $85 billion worth of U.S. taxpayer-funded military weapons and material to the Taliban, a violent extremist group. Charge number 11, Joe Biden decimated the U.S. military through his imposition of woke policies that have resulted in the lowest number of military recruits since the military draft ended in 1973. That's amazing. And then finally, number 12, even though there can probably be more, but we'll stop at 12. Joe Biden initiated and continued ties to China for his personal financial benefit that have left the United States vulnerable to Chinese infiltration and aggression, as evidenced by the spy balloon and attacks by China on the U.S. dollar as the world's economic currency. This list is far from exhaustive. In short, there has never been a more corrupt occupant of the White House than the sitting president of the United States, Joe Biden. But rather than investigating any of these high crimes and misdemeanors, Attorney General Merrick Garland, Special Counsel Jack Smith, and the entire Department of Justice apparatus have unleashed the might and power of federal law enforcement against President Biden's political enemies to remove from the 2024 presidential campaign former President Donald Trump and to protect Joe Biden from being held accountable for his crimes, while falsifying allegations against the former president, who is Biden's chief political rival for the 2024 election. House Republicans must not allow Joe Biden and his criminal enterprise family to escape scrutiny, prosecution, and punishment for actual crimes against the American people while the Biden administration is allowed to advance politically motivated proceedings against former President Trump and other citizens who dare to oppose the Biden administration. The House must take steps to protect our nation from these attacks and criminal enterprises by Joe Biden, his family, and his political appointees, who are, by their actions, turning the United States of America from a constitutional republic into a banana republic. It is high time for Congress to pursue the high crimes that are becoming even more apparent every day. Amen.
Well, you know, Congressman Hill, I'm so grateful that we have a person like you that's sitting, that has served, you know, in the Congress, and you know about these things firsthand. I'm sure that there's a lot of people that are listening on today that have never heard, you know, those charges, you know, brought out the way that you did and how you expounded on each point and, you know, the extra comments, you know, that I tried to insert in there to maybe, you know, keep the American public aware. Or basically, you know, we need to constantly, you know, keep these things at the forefront of our minds because this country is really in trouble. We do need solid leadership. If there's ever been a time that we needed solid leadership, now is the time. We are facing another world war. If we don't get ourselves prepared for it, I'm afraid that we're going to find ourselves on the losing end again. So we, you know, definitely need to keep these things at the forefront so that we can always be aware, you know, of who we got sitting, you know, in that particular seat of authority. And what also, you know, came back to my mind, Congressman Hill, is how this president seems to sign off on approving drugs, hard drugs. From what I understand, I have not seen any of them yet. But from what I understand, he has, and it may be in the Washington, D.C. area or somewhere out in there like that. But he has vending machines available for people to go and get needles and different things like that. I mean, if how are you going to stop the drug problem if you're going to continue to contribute, you know, to it like this? So we're in a very dangerous position right now.
No, you're absolutely right, Pastor Davis. I have never agreed with, and I never will agree with those positions taken by those on the left that in order to stop the spread of disease, that those who are hard drug users who inject themselves with these drugs, we have to give them clean needles. No, you don't. Don't give them needles at all. That is not going to stop the drug problem. That is not going to stop the spread of disease. And evidence of that is that it's still happening. What you need to do instead is to get these people the help that they need to get off these drugs. And that doesn't necessarily have to be done by the government. It can be done by private institutions. It can be done by the church. It can be done by nonprofit organizations. It can be done by for-profit organizations. Just get the government out of the way. Because every time the government gets in the way, it's a disaster, especially when the left is involved. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. If you would like to join the show with your questions or comments, the number to call in is 904-831-0917. Okay, let's talk about some real crimes that have been committed by president. This is, I'm reading from an article by the Mises Wire. That's from the Mises Institute, Austrian Economics. Great group of people out of Auburn, Alabama. This article was written by Connor O'Keefe, and he says, former President Donald Trump is facing 91 charges as he seeks to win back the White House in 2024. The indictments are the latest battle in a roughly six-year crusade against Trump that first sought to remove him from power through the 25th Amendment. The 25th Amendment says that you're not capable of serving president because of your mental capacity. Then, with espionage charges and impeachments, you know, President Trump has been impeached twice by the Democrat House and did not go through the Senate, and that now aims to block him from becoming president again. The mantra we hear from those in politics and media who support these efforts is that nobody is above the law. Nonsense. I was on Jamaican and National Public Radio a couple of weeks ago, and the radio host there, who is a leftist, used that very same thing when he asked me about those latest indictments that came down against President Trump by that fraud attorney general in Georgia, that district attorney there, Fannie Willis, who brought these fraud charges against Trump. Everyone knows that they're just as bogus as the charges that were brought against him by that January 6th select committee, which, again, is so bogus. So anybody with an iota of common sense can see that it was. But this gentleman said to me, what do you think about these charges brought against President Trump? And I responded and said, there is no substance behind these charges. Anyone can say, can make a phone call and say, hey, something looks fishy here. Why don't you go find the right votes and make sure this is done correctly? There's nothing wrong with doing that. And that radio host said, well, nobody is above the law. And that's what everybody on the left says. Well, if that's the case, Joe Biden is not above the law either, and his criminal family and what they are doing. And a lot of other members of Congress, they're not above the law either. The article goes on to say, but there's an entire class of people who are above the law, or who at least act like they're above the law. It's the political class. The hypocrisies of their effort to convict Trump and block him from holding office again reveal that the motivations are purely political, not born of some commitment to a higher moral or legal principle. Now, two schools of thought make up Western legal philosophy. They are natural law theory and legal positivism. Natural law theory says that law exists regardless of the dictates of state, that justice is derived from nature and common to all humans. Simply put, natural law theorists argue that a crime is a crime regardless of what the state says. That makes killing another human with malice aforethought murder. For example, even when it's done with the blessings of government officials. The idea that nobody, not even the president, above the law, is right in line with this view that there is no special status that someone can attain that allows them to commit crimes. But taken to its logical conclusion, equality under the law is a demand of political authority. So it's bizarre to hear the political class use this slogan, no one is above the law, as a rallying cry when all their wealth, power, and status is built on political privilege. And they can't rightfully go after Trump for how he used his political authority, because that's not unique to Trump. The political class prefers legal positivism, which separates law from morality. According to legal positivists, law is what the sovereign political authority says it is. There may be just laws and unjust laws, but they are all valid laws in this view. Legal positivism enshrines the political class's privileged legal status above the rest of us. That is how the left thinks. Therefore, the way to get Trump is not to show he did anything immoral or wrong, but to prove he technically broke some rule made up by members of either political class. That way, he can be driven out of public life without threatening the regime's authority. But the problem hasn't been finding crimes committed by Trump, but finding crimes unique to Trump, because all recent presidents have broken the law. The article goes on to say, President George H.W. Bush launched a war on Iraq without congressional authorization. That is illegal, according to Article 1, Section 8, Clause 11 of the Constitution, the set of rules Bush swore an oath to uphold. President Bill Clinton did the same, overseeing illegal military operations in Somalia, Serbia, and Iraq. President George W. Bush conducted warrantless surveillance on American citizens, which is illegal according to the Fourth Amendment, and committed torture, which is prohibited by Section 2340A of Title 18 of the United States Code. His administration also launched undeclared and therefore illegal wars in Afghanistan, Somalia, and Iraq. President Barack Obama conducted more illegal wars in Libya, Syria, Pakistan, Mali, and Yemen. In many of those wars, Obama expanded George W. Bush's policy of giving support to Al-Qaeda, which is treason, according to Article 3, Section 3 of the Constitution. Obama also ordered the assassination of an American citizen in Yemen who had not even been tried or even convicted of a crime. The Sixth Amendment makes that illegal. Combined, these illegal wars have killed millions of people. They are appalling crimes, of which Trump is also guilty. His administration continued the wars in Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, Somalia, and Yemen, despite his running on a more isolationist foreign policy. Yet he's not being charged for any of that. The crimes he's facing charges for are far less serious, but they are more unique to Trump. In New York, Trump is charged with mislabeling some business expenses during the 2016 election. In Georgia, he's charged with conspiring to overturn an election prosecutors claim he knew he lost. Federally, he's charged with claiming to have won an election he allegedly knew he lost, which prosecutors say incited the riot at the Capitol on January 6th. He's also charged with keeping classified documents after leaving office and conducting a scheme to conceal them from the federal government. By refusing to bring charges against Trump that could also be brought against the presidents they like, the political class has shown that its aims are political. If they were committed to the rules that they swore an oath to uphold, they'd have to indict many of their own. And if they genuinely believe that nobody exists above the law, they'd have to give up a whole lot more. Now, that's the truth, ladies and gentlemen. That was a great article written by the Mises Institute, where we are seeing how they are going after not only Trump, but also his supporters. We see the leader of the Proud Boys, Mr. Torrio, who has been given 22 years as a sentence for saying inciting a riot, which there was no riot. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood on Let's Face the Issues. Have a blessed day. Keep looking up.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. you're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, popular creation speaker with the Institute for Creation.